Hey, this is Ryan Tucker, and we want to thank you for listening to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. In this podcast, we get to dive into Pastor Stephen's weekly sermons right here at Highland Park Baptist Church. We would ask you to rate, like, subscribe, and comment. And again, we are honored and thankful that you have chosen to listen to the Unchangeable Truth. What's up, everybody? This is Ryan Tucker, and I am with Stephen Kyle, pastor of Highland Park Baptist Church in Panama City, Florida, and we are the Unchangeable Truth Podcast.
Pastor of...
See how I did that?
Yeah, you got a little, inflection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so we're I'm not so boring all the time.
People have been saying you're boring?
Man, people all say all kind of stuff about me. It's okay, so I change it up.
There you go. You ain't got to be angry.
Unchangeable Truth Podcast, man.
I was just making a statement. I'm not angry at you.
Wow.
It's all good.
I hope not.
I like excitement.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good to be here.
Yeah.
Doing it on a regular day.
It's good to be back.
Just doing one recording, which is unique kind of recently because we've been doing many recordings at one time because...
Well, if you weren't so busy traveling all the time.
Yeah, that's it.
You know.
That's it.
We could...
Well, you know. Got places to be, people to see.
I'm not mad at you, though.
Clearly. You can tell. But anyway, so we're in the book of Daniel.
Yeah.
On Sunday mornings. I'm kind of pleased with how that's been going.
It's been a good series.
I was a little concerned and I think it's kinda tracked well and hadn't been too deep. Tried to keep the prophetic stuff just kinda at
It's coming though,
at top
right?
level. It's gonna have to eventually.
Yeah.
It's gonna have to, but you try to do the best. Let me just kind of keep this as simple as we can, and still understand the truths. And if we want to dig a little deeper, we can do that outside of our normal service time. But one of my mentors and heroes of the faith, and has written I don't know how many books and preaching. Had a school of preaching named after him, everything in the world, made a statement to me 2 weeks ago. He's like, I'll tell you, that's the best sermon I've ever heard from the book of Daniel. Maybe the best sermon I've ever heard you preach is what he said. And of course, you're like, oh, wow. And then you're like, well, hang on, that may not be a good thing. He may think all the rest of them are really bad, and this is just a step above. So I took it as a good thing, though.
Yeah.
So anyway. Yeah.
You spend a lot of time, though, prepping for a service. Like, you're not just, I know this isn't really podcast stuff, but I ask anyway. Like, how much time do you spend on a Sunday morning?
Yeah, it all depends. It really all depends on, is it a text that I know very well, that I've preached before? Now, I've been doing this for 33 years. So
well, I know you have a system.
I do. Have a system. And also have, every sermon I've ever preached, I've got. So I don't have to do a lot of research necessarily. But, just like yesterday, my original plan when I had this whole thing laid out is we're gonna cover all of chapter 3. And then we scheduled the Lord's Supper. And as I started kind of breaking down, really – yesterday's sermon was originally just going to be a one-pointer of a whole sermon.
Oh, wow.
And then when I started breaking it down, I'm like, there's a little bit more to this. And then it's kind of started taking that direction of, hey, this is a war of worship right here. And looking at what that represented, I'm like, nah, this will be perfect. We'll just knock it off right here. I do. I'll spend... My goodness, I preach two different sermons a week.
Yeah.
Usually I don't spend as much time on our midweek stuff as I do the Sundays, but the midweek that we've been doing, this context series, I've been spending a lot of time on it. So
40 minutes each. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna say 10 to 12 hours.
Yeah.
Something like that. I've heard folks say they spend a minute. Excuse me, for every minute they preach, they spend an hour in study. And I'm like, I'm calling baloney on that.
Yeah.
I'm calling baloney on that.
Yeah.
If you gave me a text and said, all right, you got 4 or 5 hours to get, I think I could get that together in 4 or 5 hours. Not going to have not going to have, it's not going to be illustrated the way I usually do it all that kind of stuff. But the book of Daniel illustrates itself.
Well, and, you know, especially this sermon yesterday, you know, the war of worship, you know, sometimes we think maybe Old Testament is not too applicable for today, but man.
It's so perfect.
It's absolutely relevant for today.
Like, yeah, without a doubt. And there are folks that, even going into this text, because I kind of briefly said something about it.
Yeah.
You know, here is Nebuchadnezzar, at the end of chapter 2, when the dream's been interpreted. Yeah. You know, he's like, praise be in the God of Daniel. And you're like, all right, he got it.
Yeah.
He understands there's one true living God. Yeah. And I'm telling you, it's not even a verse later.
Right,
he's building this big, massive statue of himself, and wanting everyone to bow down and worship it, or they're going to die. And he meant business, and so you're like, okay, then maybe he didn't follow the one true God. Man, I don't know. I don't know. You're going to see things throughout there that would lead you to believe, because this is not going to be the first time he's going to be like, oh, yeah, praise be the one true God of Daniel.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, well, look at what he's doing now. Look at what he's saying now. Yeah. It seems like he really doesn't know that one true God. And, you know, and for 2 weeks straight, I kind of made the illustration of him to a current political figure. And, nobody amended it, so I don't think anybody liked that. But nobody said a word about it.
No emails.
Yeah, no emails. But yeah, I mean, you're like, all right, they got it. And then all of a sudden they'll say something, they'll do something. You're like, yeah, man, that didn't sound like. But I think the point that was made yesterday with how we so flippantly use the word worship as though it's an event.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a verb, it's a subject. That's the way we tend to focus on. That we don't even have to sit there, well, was Nebuchadnezzar a follower or was he not a follower? Because I've known plenty of genuine followers of the Lord that easily fall in this same same pit that he found himself in. And I say myself, there are times in my life, my goodness, I've done this enough. I know what to do next. Yeah. I know what to say next.
Yeah.
I know how to go through the motions.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, I like it. I like Old Testament. It's rich, you know. There are folks that want to. Well, you know, it's not that big a deal. Let's really focus on New Testament, and I'm going to disagree with that. You know, it's just so good. It's still applicable to us today, and it still points to Jesus Christ. And so, I don't think we need to be unhitched from the Old Testament. I think it's what one guy said. I think we appreciate it and hold to it and understand the Old Testament. There are parts of the Old Testament that clearly were written to the Jewish people, and they were dealing with ceremonial law and dealing with cultural law, and you know, you got the dietary things and all these kinds of things. But the reality is, God gave it to them because He's like, I love you and I want the best for you, and here you go.
Yeah.
And I would say that's true for us today. We have to take that principle and put it to play in our lives, or you know, start living it out in our lives. You know, I even made the statement yesterday. I don't think any of you guys are going to be going home today threatened with, am I going to bow down before a 90-foot tall statue?
Yeah.
But there will be idols that are, I would even say, more dangerous.
Yeah.
That we don't see with eyes.
You know, and you know, talking about this whole thought of worship, and I think you even say, you know, worshiping is worth warring over because there's so many things that can, you know, pull our worship. I'll use that term. But like, you know, and I think we've even said it on this podcast, you know, we're really good worshipers. Oh. We're really good at it.
Oh, without a doubt.
It's just, what are we placing our worship on?
Well, you don't even have to step foot in a church to be a worshiper.
Yeah.
You turn on NASCAR. And you see over 100,000 worshipers.
Why do you always go to NASCAR?
Because, you know, when you think of as big of a football stadium, I mean, that pales in comparison. You're talking, I don't know what the...
Are there that many people that watch NASCAR?
Oh, my goodness. It's unbelievable. I'm not really a NASCAR fan. Are you, Journey?
I am not.
Yeah, I mean, but there are people... And it is people you would never assume are. We're like little old senior adult ladies. No, seriously. I'll never forget years ago. I was doing a faith visit. You remember the faith evangelism outline?
Yeah.
And so I've got my team, and it was me and another guy, and Jennifer was the female that was on our team, because you always had a woman on the team, right? Because she would go to the door and knock on the door, because somebody comes to the door and they see a guy out there they don't know. They're threatened by that, and that's natural. And so she would knock on the door because it's a female. And
less intimidating.
I guess so. I mean, I'll probably get some emails about that, but there's a guy sitting there, and he's like, y'all come on in. He really didn't even turn away from watching the race that's happening, and go in and sit down. The guy's like, what do you think about it? I think it was 88. Was that Earnhardt's number, 88? We don't even know. We're not NASCAR fans. Somebody will let us know that's watching. Anyway, he goes, what do you think about 88? And I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And he's got it everywhere, all over the place. He's sitting there drinking, I don't know, beer, Budweiser. I don't know what he was drinking. He's sitting there drinking. I know Budweiser's beer, but and we're having this conversation. He's like, what do you think about that, man? I just love it. I can't get enough. You know, 88, baby, 88. I want to say that's right. Journey is doing some investigative.
Yeah, he's our researcher today.
He's our research right now. But the anyway, and this guy, he had a little dog. Was it 88? That's what I thought, 88. And so he's sitting there, and this little dog's yapping the entire time. And the guy's just like, well, man, I tell you what, you know, and we're trying to share the gospel with him. And, you know, and he's like, I don't really get into that stuff a whole lot. I don't get into religion. I don't, you know, we're like, we hate religion too. We agree with you. And it's about a relationship with Christ. And I don't really focus on that worship stuff. And I'm thinking the entire time, are you kidding me, dude?
Yeah.
You've got an idol right here in the room. And it's so funny because the dog's barking like crazy. We're getting ready to leave. And the guy's like, Little Dale, leave him alone. He named the dog Little Dale. And this is no knock on Dale Earnhardt. I'm just saying how far this guy had taken it. But he was a worshiper.
Yeah.
Junior.
Junior's 88? What was Earnhardt? Okay. Big Dale. Anyway, forgive us for our lack of NASCAR knowledge. Yeah. But I always go there because you're talking 120,000 that'll gather together to watch these races.
I was just curious. Like I've heard you reference it several times before, first before college football. Anyway.
Well, it could be anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dale was three. Well, I guess he was talking about Dale Jr. then. I don't know. That shows you what I know.
Yeah.
But he was into it, man. I can tell you that.
Well, again, just and we'll talk about it in a little bit, you know, the object of the worship. But, you know, as King Nebuchadnezzar is building this thing, you talk about how, you know, he really wants to exalt himself in all of this, which, again, you know, we're probably not, you know, building statues of, you know, Ryan Tucker out in the yard, but to exalt myself. But we do it in so many other ways. And
yeah, I would say we may not be building a statue on the plain of Jura, but we're building statues in our heart, and it tends to be more on us.
Yeah.
Look at me. I don't think a lot of people sit there and say, you know what, I'm going to go worship myself.
Yeah.
I don't think folks say that. But when you examine the life, you're like, no, that's really what you're doing. You are in that number one spot, number one position. God's made it very clear. Hey, man. That number one spot's reserved for me.
Yeah.
You know, and I tell folks, the way that thing should play out is, number one, God. No one above or below. And when I say God, I mean Jesus too. Jesus, God in the flesh, right? You can't know God the Father unless you know Jesus Christ the Son. So you have God, number one. Number two is your family. And then number three, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to say church. That's the way it plays out in my life, the local body of believers, but everything else is going to come after that, you know, career and all those kinds of things. But what happens is we'll put all those other things here. We'll push God all the way down to the bottom, almost like, hey, if I got any time or anything left over, any devotion, I'll give it to you, God.
Yeah.
Or I'll give you major holidays.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my goodness, we've just elevated something else into that position that is reserved for God and God alone.
Yeah.
And I even tell folks, hey, you want to know what the God is in your life? What do you talk about the most?
Yeah.
What do you think about the most? What are you giving your money toward?
Yeah.
That'll tell you what your God is.
Yeah.
And you know, I even made the I love sports, and I'm a big college sport guy, and you know, college football, basketball, college baseball. Man, I like to watch girls softball.
Yeah.
My goodness, man, that's some strategy involved there. But anyway, those sports make a great hobby, make a terrible god.
Yeah.
I'll never forget years ago, you and I were coaching together. I think at the time, I don't remember. And
the Tiger Sharks?
Yeah, I don't.
Or the Jackrabbits?
We were the Tigers, not the Tiger Sharks.
Oh, I don't
remember. We were the Tigers. We were the Jackrabbits.
Which ones were the Astro colors, the Astro uniforms?
That was the Titans.
The Titans.
So we were the Jackrabbits, then we were the Titans. Did you help us coach on the Titans journey? Okay. And then we went to Tigers, just straight up Tigers. I don't think you helped with Tigers.
I don't think so.
No, you were Titans. Anyway, I can remember, I was asked to pray at a closing ceremony, and naturally, you know, I want to do that. So I get up there, and before I start praying, I just said, "Hey guys, I want to make a statement before we start praying." And I'm like, "Baseball is a great hobby, isn't it? Great fun. The only problem is baseball makes a terrible god." And there were people looking at me like, "What is he talking about? What does he mean?"
Yeah.
But we'll sit there and the very innate desires that God has created when He crafted us, we will try to fulfill those desires with other things besides a relationship with Him and the worship that we have for Him. But you're going to worship something. I can promise you that.
Well, and you even talk about it, you know, there's this sense of, hey, look, and you even use the example of somebody creating a really successful business and going, hey, look, just look at what I've done. Like, I've done so well. And yeah, we may not go, hey, you know, worship me, but, you know, in a sense, when we say, hey, look what everything I've done, like you're putting yourself above anything else.
Well, and I heard a guy say this one time. He said, "I would thank God if He had done anything for me."
Mm.
And you know, and that's when I stepped back 2 feet, like,
wow.
I don't want
that's
that to
dangerous.
Be, you know, the lightning bolt's about to come down here. You know, you just want to say, "Oh my goodness, you have life because God gave it to you. You have the brains to do what you do because God gave it to you."
Yeah.
Let's just be honest. I mean, they're. A lot of things are just, man, I'm in the right place at the right time. Yeah. I know the right people.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, those are gifts from God.
Yeah, for sure.
All those things. And but this sense, I mean, it's just this arrogance of me focusing upon myself.
Yeah.
And we do it from an early age.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
Man, you can be anything you dream.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing stopping you. You know, we'll even say this about America. I mean, anybody can come to America and the American dream.
Yeah.
You can make something
put
out
your
of your
mind
life.
To it, you can do it.
Absolutely. And please hear me. I'm not against those things. I'm not wrong. And this is my catch too that I say all the time. You know, as Americans, we love pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. And I'm like, we don't even have boots on. but I understand what they're saying there. Don't be lazy.
Yeah.
Well, I think you can be content in who you are in Jesus Christ, and you can desire to worship Him with every bit of your fabric and still not be lazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I heard a guy say this recently, and he said, you know, somebody said, "I just don't understand why you're so excited when it comes to things about the Lord, man. You're almost over the top." And here's what he said. He said, "Well, when I was following Satan, I gave it 100%.
Mm.
And I figure I'll not give God any less."
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a strong statement.
Yeah.
Because that's true. You know, man, when you're running down that road headed to hell, man, it's a breakneck speed.
Yeah.
That 8-lane superhighway, right?
Yeah.
And so anyway, yeah, let's be careful when we say the word worship.
Yeah.
I've scheduled worship on my calendar.
Yeah.
Now, worship is something that you do from your heart.
Yeah. Well, then let's, in our few minutes that we have left, like, let's talk about the object of worship, right? Because you mentioned that a little bit, and I think it was just really good for us to kind of have some, you know, some clarity and even some, as we, you know, we were able to do the Lord's Supper yesterday, just having this self-examination, you know, just thanking God for what He's done, remembering the things that He's done, looking at our own life. But, you know, so we have this exalting self. You even talk about there's also this attempt to elevate man and all of this, and it kind of goes along with that. But, you know, you really spent some time on really looking at and thinking about the object of our worship. You know, it's not, you know, Nebuchadnezzar built a statue of a, you know, they say it was a man.
Well, that's what the Septuagint says. And if people are like, what's the Septuagint? Well, that would have been taking all these different Greek texts and bringing them together. And so the Septuagint basically says it was a man-like image.
Yeah.
Which would make sense.
Right.
I mean, if you think of who Nebuchadnezzar is,
well,
why would he have built it as anything else?
And then, so, and then your last point is this idea of enforced worship, but... Let's talk about the object of worship, because again, like in this culture, we are so distracted and it's so easy just to, even though maybe we're trying to do something good by thinking about family, thinking about church things, serving in the church, doing whatever, like it's so easy to put our focus on something else rather than taking that moment and going, all right, I'm going to worship holy God for who he is and for what he's done. And the byproduct of that's going to be so many other things. But I don't know. You mentioned object of worship. I wanted to get your thoughts on
that. I think the object of anything you do is what is the most important thing. And of course we're talking about worship. In a little different vein, I was talking with somebody just a couple hours ago, and we were sitting there talking about, you know, there was a book written a few years ago, Stop Asking Jesus Into Your Heart. And, you know, kind of a catchy title.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. When you start reading it, it's basically just saying, hey, man, quit telling people to pray what is known as the sinner's prayer. Quit leading people in a prayer of salvation. And you'll never find that in the Bible. And this, I mean, you know, it does tell us in the Bible, unless you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you'll not be saved. So it's a confession. So here's the way I approach that. You know, well, what's the object of your faith? If I'm putting my faith in, I've prayed a prayer. There's not a prayer in the world that can forgive sin. If I'm putting my faith in getting baptized, that there's no water that is holy enough that can wash away any sin. Now, are those things that are very important? Absolutely, they're important for us to do. But what I'm doing it through them, I'm expressing the faith that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so what I would say is a sinner's prayer. And if folks, well, you know, somebody could just say that and not really mean it. I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree. I mean, I can do anything in the world, and my motivation, you know, calls me to do that. So worship is my motivation is focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the attitude, right? That is what's driving me. And so I can come and I can say, boy, didn't we have a good worship service today? They sang that one song and, you know, man, God bumps stood up on my arm and hair stood up on the back of my neck. And I mean, you go to our service from yesterday and man, they were bringing some power tunes, son.
Yeah.
And then when they started singing that Worthy of It All and my goodness. And by the way, let the record show what Corey was reading off the screens I wrote. He could have at least memorized it or something, you know. You thought he would have memorized it. He memorized the lyrics, all those songs. But anyway.
Well, he's got all the lyrics in the back on the song.
Well, that's true. That's true. He could have ad-libbed a little bit, man. But anyway, they were singing some power ballads that I would say this, and they were so strong.
Yeah.
There probably were some non-Christians here that were like, "Oh man,
yeah.
Wasn't that good?"
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't, but there are folks that listen to Disney songs and be like, "Oh man, isn't that good?" or you know, last night we were watching. I don't know what that singing show is. There was somebody on there doing some singing.
The Voice. We watching The Voice or American Idol?
I don't remember. We really weren't watching it. The TV was on, and so we were walking through and. You know, somebody hits that note, and you're just like, oh, my goodness, isn't that something? Well, folks can come here, and because the song or whatever is about Jesus or God or the Bible, boy, whoo, that worship today, it moved me.
Yeah.
Well, no. The beat, the tune, the style. No. What is worship? Worship is me declaring to the Lord who he is.
Yeah.
And how I'm, you know, what he has done for me and how I am deeply in love with him and can't believe that he loves me. And he is the one true God. And so I'm not saying we shouldn't have those other things. My goodness, when it comes to singing, if we're going to do it, let's do it good.
Yeah.
But, man, I think there's a lot of things that we say that we've been a part of when it comes to worship that's nothing more than emptiness.
Yeah.
I think Jesus referred to the Pharisees. What do you call them? Whitewashed tombs.
Yeah. Well, and I was, you know, sitting in there, and, you know, you hear the term war of worship or worship wars, and that could go in a lot of different directions, you know, especially being around churches for so long. And, you know, I've been part of churches that, you know, cause division because of the style of worship. Or there was one church, we put a pew, not a pew, we put some stools on the stage, and they said that we were turning into a bar because we put stools on the stage. But, like, you know, the whole time as you were talking about this particular part, like, I'm thinking of the whole sermon, like, thinking about it, everything's a heart posture. You know, you look at Nebuchadnezzar, like, his heart posture was himself. His heart posture was, hey, look at me, look at what I've done. You look at Daniel and you look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their heart posture was not on the object, not on themselves, even taking their stand. Right there, they were taking a stand, but that wasn't the thing. They're not looking at me. Look at the stand I'm taking. No, their heart was absolutely drawn to the complete and utter worship of God. And
well, I would say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're like, "Whoa, our worship is reserved for one only."
Yeah,
and that's the true living God.
Yeah,
because there were other Hebrews.
Yeah,
that would have been led away in exile. Yeah. That would have been taught the same scripture that they had been taught, that they hit the ground.
Yeah.
Text tells us there's only three that didn't.
Yeah.
And we even brought this up yesterday. Well, where was Daniel? I mean, clearly Daniel was not there, or he would have been included as well. We're going to see it in chapter 4, what he believes about honoring God. But anyway, I think so many times we do not consider the weight of worship, and when I say weight, I don't mean W-A-I-T, but W-E-I-G-H-T, the weight of worship, and we'll even sit there and we'll say, it's like we use the word persecution here in the Western Christianity. Oh, persecution. No, we've not known persecution.
We don't get it. Yeah.
We've not known persecution. Here's three guys. Hey, if you don't bow down and worship this idol, this pagan false god, aka if you don't reject your God being the true God, we're going to kill you.
Yeah.
And they're like, and we're going to see as we go on further, they're going to be like, yeah, if we die, we die. He's still God.
Yeah.
If we live, we live, and he's still God.
Yeah. Well, I'll close it out with one of the things that you said. Anything that we worship, we tend to become like. So, well, Pastor Stephen, as always, man, thank you for pointing us to Jesus and the truth of Scripture. And we will see you right here next time on the Unchangeable Truth Podcast.
This is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Unchangeable Truth. We would always love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, so feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@highlandpark.org. That's HILANDPARK.org. The purpose of this broadcast is to help you fall more in love with Jesus Christ and your faith to grow as you consistently find yourself in the Word of God. If you ever find yourself in Panama City, please feel free to stop by and worship with us in person at 2611 Highway 231 North. May God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again.